You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, 1 Timothy. We started a series a couple weeks ago on Wednesday nights on possessing the promises. And last week we talked about fighting the fight of faith. Everybody say the fight of faith. And we actually went over this verse. I just want to use it kind of as a text here and jump from this to something else. In fact, I was going, where we're going tonight is where I was going to go the other night, but y'all took up so much of my time. You know how it is. I didn't get that far. So we're talking about the fight of faith, 6:12, 1 Timothy 6:12. It says in the 12th verse, fight the good fight of faith. Everybody say fight. Now this is interesting to me because really, you know, when you talk about believing God, we don't think often of it as a fight. But the Bible tells us we have an adversary, we have an enemy. There is opposition out here. There is going to be opposition if you choose to serve God, no question. There's going to be opposition if you choose to stand on God's Word and His promises, no question. And if you choose not to do anything, you will lose by default. I think most Christians fall in that category. They're saved, they're going to heaven. But because we're not really praying about our marriage, we're not praying about our health, we're not praying about the church, we're not praying about the finances, we're not praying about, you know, overcoming sin, as it were. We're losing because there's a fight going on. There is a battle going on. There are bullets flying, spiritually speaking. And God is calling us to be soldiers in the army of the Lord, to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, is what the Bible says. So that means that we need to, you know, we need to get our ammunition together. We need to load up our weapons. Hallelujah. We need to practice with our weapons. We need to find out what the Word says. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people. Everybody say, my people. That's an insightful verse because he didn't say people. He just said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know, Brother Osteen, my pastor, used to always say, if you'll put the Word of God in you when you don't need it, it'll be there when you do need it. Amen. A lot of times we're not going through anything. Life is fine, you know. We don't really see the need to pray. We're happy, you know. Mr. Bluebird's on our shoulder. Are you out there? But see, crisis does come. Challenges do come. The enemy does come. And there will be a day when you will need the Word. And it's not that's not the time to go into a crash course on how to use the Word and how to pray and find out where the promises are. I tell you, we need to be doing that all the time and ready, armed up, geared up, ready for the battle. Because it's coming. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but one day it's coming. There's going to be a fight for your soul. There's going to be a fight for your holiness, your holy living. There's going to be temptations that come. There's going to be a fight for your health, for your family, for your marriage, for your children, for your church, for your country. And we need to realize that we are in a battle. You know, really, this the earth as it is right now has fallen. If you hadn't figured that out, you don't get out much. But and the earth is in opposition to God. God's not ruling and reigning in the whole earth in the sense of He's controlling everything. The Bible gives a totally different picture than that. The Bible tells us the world lies in darkness and lies in sin. Are you with me? In fact, Jesus talked about the prince of the power of the air, and it wasn't God. Now, God ultimately is over everything, stay with me, but because some of His creation has rebelled against Him, and is in opposition to Him, there is a war going on in the spirit. There's a war going on in the natural. You know, Adam and Eve fell. They rebelled against God and brought sin into the world. Now, one day God will bring it back. We have that in the Bible. We know that. But until then, there's a battle going on. Jesus came down on enemy territory. Jesus came down and fought tooth and nail. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He fought sickness and disease. He fought sin. He fought false religion. And they crucified Him. Of course, He rose from the dead, victorious, hallelujah, over the devil and over those that opposed Him. It is Jesus that said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, you know, in science they call this law the second law of thermodynamics. Yeah, you need to write that one down. What that means is everything's going downhill. Everything is decaying. It's the law of attrition. We see it in creation. We see it all around. That was not the way God originally made everything. And that's not the way the new heaven, the new earth will be. But while we're here, until Jesus comes, until after that thousand-year reign talked about in Revelation chapter 20, until the new heaven and new earth comes, Revelation chapter 21 and 22, we are on enemy territory. Things decay. You're getting older. I'm getting older. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The outward man perisheth, 2 Corinthians 4:16. But the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. I'm alive on the inside. And what's on the inside of me is far greater than what's on the outside of me. In fact, what's on the inside of me will outlive the outside of me. Woo! Think about it. Trees rot and decay and die. As beautiful as they are, they have an end. Everything is going downhill. You put a white post in the middle of the field and don't touch it, in time it's going to turn black. It's going to get dirty. And are you with me? We know that, see? See, in fact, actually, if you let the earth just... we talk about nature just taking its course. Oh, don't you let nature take its course. Nature needs someone to rule and reign over it because it is infected with sin. It's infected with the devil. Well, that garden is so beautiful. Yeah, of course it is, because man took over that garden and decided what was going to grow there and weeded out what he didn't want to grow. God set man in the garden originally to tend it, incidentally, if you know the truth. And so when you see order, it's not nature. There's no order in nature. There's order when we enforce order. When you see order in a marriage, you see order in a family, you see order in a church. Someone has taken the Word of God, stood on the promises of God, and fought off the devil. If you want peace of mind, if you want order in your life, you're going to have to grab the promises. You're going to have to fight. But you'll win, hallelujah, because you're not alone. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You're not in this battle all by yourself, praise God. God is with you. But it is a battle of faith. It's whether we're going to trust God or not. Fight the good fight. It's a good fight because we win. The good fight of faith. And that's really what the enemy wants to do. He wants to knock you off your faith. He wants to get you distracted, deceive you, get your eyes off the Lord, off trusting the Lord. Especially when crisis comes, he wants you to give up. He wants you to throw away hope, throw away your dreams, and just look and stare and talk about constantly the problem and the crisis instead of looking to God and His promises and believing Him and trusting Him and fighting this thing with faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life. Whereunto you are also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. That's what the King James says. The New Living Translation says, fight the good fight for what we believe. Man, I love that. Now, that's a better preaching, y'all are amen it. If you look at the miracles of God and the healings and deliverances that took place in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have four Gospels filled with them. We also have the book of Acts after the resurrection. Now the apostles go out, not just the apostles, but some just disciples of the Lord, some that weren't not necessarily apostles did miracles, signs, and wonders. If you notice those individual cases of people that got miraculous things in their lives, got healings in their lives, they were people that were passionate about what they believed. They were very forceful in their faith. They were peculiar, to say the least, because they didn't walk the line with everybody else. They stood out in the crowd because they believed God. They fought and they won. The word fight here means to agonize, to struggle. The word lay hold upon eternal life means to take hold of, to seize upon. These promises are waiting for you to fight for. They're waiting for you to seize upon them. They don't come cheap, but if you'll believe God, you can win. Hallelujah. Amen. There's an enemy sitting on your land, just like they sat on Jericho and sat on Ai, and all the promised land had enemies sitting in those cities. And God empowered His people to go out and fight and take back those cities. And I'd submit to you, the devil is trying to take your peace. He's trying to take your sanity of mind. He's trying to take your health. He's trying to take your family. But don't let him do it. You stand, you fight, you win. We've got to fight. Amen? Now, we can't check out. We can't just say, well, I just don't like all that. Well, it is what it is. Are you with me? We have a decision to make. Are we going to stand up and fight for it, or are we going to let the devil just have everything we got? I mean, if somebody's sitting in my house when I get home, I'm running them out. I'm not going to let them just have my house. If they try to take my kids, I'm going to run them off. I'm going to jump on them. I'm going to take them to the ground, okay? I might be in the paper next week, pastor beats up so-and-so or shoots somebody, whatever. But you know what? They're not going to take my kids. Hello. I fight for that. But sometimes we don't fight for things that Jesus died for. That's a tragedy, really, when you think about it, that Jesus paid a price. Think about all the people that go to hell, and Jesus paid a price so they can go to heaven. But because they don't come to Jesus, they don't stand up, hey, be different, as it were, because we are different. We are a peculiar people. You know, we're not the majority. Christians are not the majority in the world. But we have found out what God offered. We've gone for what God offered. We've confessed Him as Lord and Savior. People have made fun of us, but that's okay. God loves us. He's for us, and we're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we decided it was worth fighting for. Hallelujah. Amen. Believe. Our fight was a fight of faith. That's all we fight, is whether we believe God or not. We did that. We thought it was worth that. We made our stand. We've suffered some abuse, some persecution, but that's okay. It's worth that. It's worth the hardness that we endure as soldiers of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Well, it's no different with all the other promises that God has for us. You know, Philip Brooks said this. Phillips Brooks, he was a poet and a cleric. And he said this. He died in 1893. He's been gone a while. He said, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your task. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you yourself shall be a miracle. Every day you shall wonder at yourself and at the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God." Amen. I love that. You know, I got all this opposition. God, just make it all go away. No, we ought to say, "God, make me strong. Give me strength to overcome this." Be like Caleb, where he said, "We are well able to overcome. Let us go up at once and possess the land. For we're well able to overcome." Numbers 13, verse 30 tells us that. That's the kind of attitude God's looking for. He's looking for a can-do attitude. Everybody's different, I understand that, but we can all stand. We can all get serious about it. And what we get serious and focused on, those are the things that we possess. Those are the things that we go after, like dreams, like goals, like desires and wishes. The only wishes and only desires and only goals and only dreams that you and I ever accomplish are the ones that we get aggressive about, forceful about. We will not be denied. We lock our teeth in and we won't let go. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you can't do 100 things at one time, but you can start with the main thing in your life. I don't know what you're fighting. I don't know the battle that you're facing, but I know if you'll get serious about that one thing and you'll win that battle, then you can go for the next one. You've got to kill a lion and a bear before you take Goliath. But if you'll take the lion out and you'll take the bear out, you can handle Goliath when he comes along. Amen? I mean, it may not be a big thing in your life, but fight that thing. Fight it. If God has given you a promise, if God says you can do it, it's worth you standing up and fighting for. Exactly. And when you do that, see, you'll chalk up another victory. Hallelujah. And you'll step up to the next battle. You won't ever stop fighting until we die. We'll always be something that we're believing God or standing in faith for. New levels, new devils. Are you with me? But that's okay. You know, if I've killed the lion and the bear, I'm ready for Goliath. I've prepared, I fought, I've got some victories. You know, if I believe God for this thing, I can believe God for that thing. And we do need to rehearse our victories. Has God ever answered your prayer? Sure He has. You ought to write it down. You ought to go back over those blessings. You know, Amanda's got her little blessing book, and she writes down when she has an answered prayer, she writes it down, the date and everything, you know, what took place, and she goes and reviews those things and remembers those things. See, we overcome, Revelation 12:10 tells us, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I got a testimony. How about you? I've been saved. How about you? I like to rehearse that. I like to think about that because that's a victory. I passed from death to life. I passed from darkness to light. I passed from the kingdom of the devil to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. some 35 years ago, and God changed me, and I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. I was lost, and now I'm saved. I was blind, and now I see. Hallelujah. I remember that. I remember when it took place. I remember when I prayed and asked Jesus to help me and called on His name. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. I rehearse that a lot. I think about that a lot. I remember many times in my life God's answered my prayers and delivered me and saved me and healed me and blessed me and oh my, because we chose to believe Him. We chose to call. When all hope was lost, we put hope in Him. Hallelujah. We stood on His Word when it didn't look like there was a way in the world ever happened. I remember when God called me to teach. I was the most unlikely person to ever preach God's Word. The most unlikely to ever pastor. The most unlikely to ever be a teacher, as it were, in the Word. Kicked out of high school, drug and jail background, no education, no money. When God called me, I didn't even have a high school education. I still hadn't gone to college. I hadn't gone to Bible college or any college. Spoken a couple of them. Hello? But see, God knows more than we do. And when He said, go for it, son, this is what I want you to do, I finally gave in and said, okay, I will. I decided I'd fight for what God called me to do. I'd stand up and fight, and I've been around the world preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Not bragging on me, I'm just saying, you know, anybody, I got nothing to brag about. Are you kidding? I mean, it's obvious God's working when you, see me, because I couldn't have done it. I didn't have a future and a hope in that area. I had no credentials. I had nothing but God. Hallelujah. But that's good. You really, you know, nothing but God is all you need. You may be in that situation. You're saying, you know, I'm facing this crisis. I don't have the finances, or I don't have the know-how, or I don't have the experience. All I got is God. Well, that's all you need. Amen. You and God are a majority. Hallelujah. Yeah. You and God get it done if you believe Him, if you'll trust Him. That's all He's calling you to do is fight the fight of faith, to trust, believe, to lay hold on, not let go. Turn to Mark 5th chapter. This is where I was going the other night. Just couldn't get in high enough gear to get there. Mark the 5th chapter. Make this personal. Take it very personally. Hallelujah. This is personal. You take so many things personal, you're not supposed to. Somebody said something, wasn't even thinking, they're just yakking, yeah, talking smack, whatever, and you took it personally. You heard so-and-so said so-and-so that they heard so-and-so say something else about you. First of all, you done heard that four different people. You don't even know what was said. But they mentioned your name, and boy, you're steaming hot about it because you take it personally. Well, listen, those kind of things you need to just let run off like water off a duck's back. But this right here, you need to take this personally. This is God's Word to you. He meant you to take it personally. If He says this to you, if He says this, period, He says it to you. Because if He did anything for anybody, He'll do it for you. Aren't you glad we have these stories in the Bible? I mean, they're real stories. They really did happen. This one in Mark the 5th chapter actually is over in Matthew 9. It's over in Luke 8. It's repeated three times in the Gospels. And it really did happen. These are real people. Real people, real stories. And we have their words recorded. We have their interaction with Jesus, what Jesus said, what they said. That's so good. Why do we have all that information? What's the purpose of all that? Just to fill pages? No. He put that in there so you and I could know what they said, so we could find out how they got what they got. Why did Jesus respond to them the way He did? Well, He did because they said certain things and they did certain things. And if you do what they did and you say what they said, you get what they got. Because God doesn't love them any more than He loves you. He loves us all the same. God's not random. God doesn't do random. Are you out there? He's not a little, I don't know, you know, sometimes we have the idea that He's got this little wand and He just kind of flying around and bing. And just at random, He decides He would just save this one and heal that one and bless that one. But God doesn't do that. God is waiting on your call, waiting on your faith. And that's what we see. We see people that would not be denied, people that were passionate, that came to Jesus, that believed God, that trusted God, that watched what they said, that kept going until they got their miracle, didn't quit until they won, that fought the good fight of faith. that made a good confession before many witnesses, that lay hold upon the promises. They grabbed a hold and they would not let go. Well, here's the case in Mark the 5th chapter. In fact, this is fascinating to me because actually Jesus was interrupted on his way to help somebody. Often hear people say this, you know, well, I don't ever pray about myself. There's so many other people who have so many greater needs than I have. And well, that may be true, but I know some people that aren't as needy as you are. So where do we go with that? Some people are in worse shape than you are. Some people are in better shape than you are. But see, that's all a wrong way to look at this thing. What we're saying is that God is not big enough to handle everybody's problems. Hello? Are you kidding me? He's big enough to handle everybody's problems.
That's right.
If everybody, over 6 billion people in the earth today, got on their knees and prayed right now, God would hear every one of their prayers and answer every one if they really prayed in faith. If they did. Now, that's not going to happen because we know the Bible says that won't happen. But he's big enough to handle it. You know, the first miracle he did was turn water into wine. Who was dying on that deal? I mean, how critical was that? Oh, yeah, y'all looking like a calf looking at Newgate. I mean, was somebody dying? No, they ran out of wine at a wedding. And he turned water into wine. Do you think they would have been okay without the water turned into wine? I think they would have made it. They'd still been married. Isn't it amazing? That's the first miracle he did. Do you think he cares about the little things? Obviously, he cared about their wedding. It was a big deal. It was their wedding. Huh. Well, I just didn't want to bother God. Well, that's why you don't have a miracle. Well, I just don't want to, you know, overload him. Well, you're not going to overload him. He's got big shoulders. He can handle it. Hallelujah. Well, so many people have so many more needs worse. Well, let's think about that a minute. If we don't pray and we don't ask God to help us because, well, there's so many more people that need more help than we do, did you ask him to save you? I did. Did you ask him to save you? I asked him to save me. I'm sure there were people that needed to go to heaven worse than I did. Are you out there? Now, why didn't I think like that concerning eternal life? Why didn't I say, well, God, I would ask you to save me, but I know lots of people. Well, so-and-so down the street, I know he needs to get saved worse than I do. So I'm not going to bother you with asking you to save me because I believe they need to get saved worse than I do. Well, actually, everybody needs to be saved. Isn't that right? Well, I know people that have a whole lot worse situation than I do, and they need peace worse than I do. I mean, they're stressed out, and I'm not doing too well, but, you know, I'm doing better than so-and-so because they really need some help. I wouldn't ask God to help me. Are you out there? See, that reason, that logic doesn't even make sense. If God offers it, he offers it to everybody. If God says he'll answer you when you call, then he can answer everybody's prayer, and when everybody calls, and he's still not bankrupt, he's still got plenty. Y'all out there?
Yeah.
So, y'all found Mark 5?
Yeah.
I got to hurry and get through this. I got to baptize Gilbert and Priscilla tonight. But Mark 5, there's this ruler of the synagogue named Jairus. He comes to Jesus. It's a fascinating story here. In the 23rd verse, in the 22nd verse. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. I think this is fascinating when he names him Jairus by name. That wouldn't mean a thing to anybody if people didn't know who he was. But if you were back then, you were reading this story, you'd go, oh, Jairus, I know him, sure. Yeah, he was a ruler of the synagogue. His name meant something. Many times miracles are mentioned by name. Blind Bartimaeus. Everybody knew Bartimaeus. Sometimes we didn't have a name, sometimes we do. But if you were alive back then, you'd relate immediately to who that was. This is a real person. Are you with me? Jairus by name. He was a ruler of the synagogue. If you lived there, you'd have known him if you'd gone to synagogue, if you were a churchgoer. So it's now when it says here, he came to Jesus, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Well, there's a good attitude. That'd speak volumes to us, that we ought to humble ourselves before God. We ought to fall at his feet. Amen. We ought to honor and respect and revere and worship him. That's the right thing to do. We shouldn't be flipping about coming to Him. We ought to really worship Him and honor Him. And what a privilege. Man, we ought to look forward to coming to Jesus and, you know, and come with respect. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. That's a reverence, you know, that we come to Him with. Oh God, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love. God, you're so good to us. We come to you in Jesus' name, asking you, petitioning you like we do here, service after service. It says he fell down at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." Wow. There's not much doubt in this statement here. There's not, you know, pull the lever down, hope it comes up triple nickels. This is not a gamble. This is not Las Vegas. I think sometimes we pray Vegas prayers, you know. Hello. Vegas, baby. Come on, come on, pull the lever, come on, come on. Ooh, didn't happen. Let's try it again. But see, God's not, we're not gambling here. We have God's word on this. And notice how Jairus says this. He says, "You come lay your hands on, come lay your hands on her, Jesus. I worship you. I fall down before, my daughter lies at the point of death." One translation says she died. I mean, one gospel, excuse me, said she'd already died. And he said, "Come lay your hands on her and she'll live." But he believed that if Jesus would come and lay his hands on her, she would live. He didn't doubt what God's will was. If he could get him to come, that was all he needed. It wasn't, "If it be thy will, Lord, try something, we'll do this, maybe something will happen. You could lay hands on her and you don't ever know, she might be healed." No, he says, "You come lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." Everybody say faith. See, that's faith. That's not hope. Hope's good. You got to start with hope. But hope's got to turn into faith if you're ever going to get what you're wanting or desiring. Hope's a desire. It's an expectancy. But faith is something solid. Faith is confidence. I believe it will be as it was told me. You know, I think of faith in terms of Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen," things we don't see. So I could hope, but faith puts substance to my hope. Everybody hopes to have a better life. Everybody wants to do better. Everybody wants peace. Everybody hopes to have heaven, as it were. But faith puts solidity to those hopes. It solidifies them. Hopes are kind of like sand, but boy, faith comes along, it puts the concrete in the sand. Makes it solid. See, I hope this will work out. I hope that gets better. I hope my prayer gets answered. But see, faith's not like that. Faith says, "God said this, and I believe this, and it will be like God said." See, faith's based on more than just hope. Faith's based on what God says. Isn't that right? See, Romans 10:17, what does it say? "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So faith doesn't come by hoping. Hoping is just our desire. That's what it is. It's an expectancy, but it's not solid enough. It's not, it may happen, may not happen. It's like Jiminy Cricket. "When I wish upon a star." We're not wishing. We're praying, we're not wishing. We're not hoping. We're praying, we're finding what God has promised. Are you out there? And we're saying, "God, I believe what you said." So faith's based on what is written, not based on what I feel or what I'd like or what I desire. Hey, everybody desires things. I desire all kinds of things. But faith's not that. Faith is taking the promise and standing on it and aggressively believing it, confessing it, pursuing it, embracing it, focusing in on it, not letting go. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this. It says, "We all having the same spirit of faith." Ooh, this is a good one. I love this one. Everybody say, same spirit of faith.
Same spirit of faith.
Here's faith. This is Bible faith. Now, This is what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, we all have in the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. That's what Paul said. I believe Paul knew what he's talking about. How about you? I believe Paul was anointed, called to God. I believe God inspired Paul to write that. And Paul told you and told me, he actually wrote that over there in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Okay. So Paul is saying real faith, Bible faith, this kind of faith we're talking about here, this faith that moves mountains, this faith that gets miracles, this faith that gets healing, this faith that gets saved, is first according to what is written. That'd be number one. I mean, whatever it is that you need, whatever it is you desire, whatever hope or dream you have, you first need to find out, does God promise it? If you're going to step from hope to faith, if you're going to make the leap from hope to faith, if you're going to go from just a desire to something solid now, I like this, then you need to find it in the Word. Find a promise. Find where God says that. Because the spirit of faith is according as it is written. It's according to what is written. Then you need to believe it. According as it is written, I believe. Then you need to speak it. According as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. See, that's what Romans 10:9 tells us. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now notice the 10th verse. This is amazing, this 10th verse. Isn't this great? You don't have to turn to all these, so you can just, I can just quote them for you. I hope you're writing notes. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we confess unto what we have believed. Wow. If you really believe it, you'll confess it. But if you believe it and you confess it, you'll believe and confess unto it. That's what we do with salvation. I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. I confessed Him. I believed in my heart unto righteousness and confessed unto my salvation. When I confessed Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, come on, y'all calm down. Let me finish this message. Mark 5, still there? So he says, come lay your hands on her and that she may be healed and she shall live. That's a confession, okay? Well, obviously he heard the Word. He came to Jesus. He was standing in front of the living Word. Fell down before the living Word. We need to fall down before the Word, amen? We need to humble ourselves before the Word. We need to submit ourselves to the Word. And then we need to believe and confess the Word. Well, Jesus, no argument at all. There's not anything even said here. He just went with them. Now, 25th verse. Oh, this gets gooder. Y'all with me? Okay. You know, it's just not enough time to finish all this. There's so much I want to say. Y'all just have to come back next week. I'm going to go a little bit longer, but I mean, I just know how I'm doing this. This is just good stuff. Oof. Are y'all getting excited? Amen. Is this helping you? Yes. Take it personal. Make it personal. You know, Jairus, God didn't love Jairus anymore than He loves you. He didn't love this woman we're going to talk about here anymore than He loves. He loves all of us the same. If He did it for Jairus, He'd do it for you. If He did it for that woman, He'd do it for you. If you'll just believe. If you'll just call on Him. 25th verse. Now, a certain woman, this is a real woman, had an issue of blood or a flow of blood 12 years. King James says issue of blood. New King James says flow of blood. Hemorrhage, I think, in some translations say. I heard somebody say this one. This woman had an issue of blood. He said, I got a lot of people in my church got issues. Just a thought. And, get this, 26th verse. Had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, was no better, but rather grew worse. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for hospitals. Thank God for medicine. Thank God for surgery. Thank God for all that man can do. Listen, we're not against each other. We're on the same team. We're trying to help people. Amen? But you know and I know that as good as doctors are, as good as hospitals are, and as good as some medicine is and some surgery, they're not all 100% successful. In fact, people die in hospitals, people die in surgery, and people die taking medicine. So, you know, if you can get help there, get help. I'm for that. Hey, listen, I'm all for that. We'll pray for the doctor. We'll pray for the medicine. We'll pray. But you know, and I know that sometimes, with all the doctor can do, sometimes it's just not enough. You know that, and I know that. And their best intention, their great heart, great compassion, giving them their lives over to helping us and you know, healing us, as it were. But I tell you, God has a healing that just will heal anything. When all hope's lost in the natural, you can call on God. And this woman had run out completely. She had done everything she could do. You could see how she tried to get well and get help and had spent all of her money and been to many physicians. Was none better, the Bible says, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus. Wow. 27th verse. When she heard about Jesus. You know, sometimes psychiatrists can help, counselors can help, and so on and so forth. Sometimes, you know what? They can't. It's just the way it is. Thank God for all the good they do. We're for that. We're not against that. I mean, don't ever run out here and say we're against medicine and doctors and counseling and all. Oh, come on. Listen, I thank God for any help any man can do. Yeah. Are you out there? But I'm also here to tell you, when man can't help you, God can. When they give you that diagnosis that it's all over and there's not a thing in the world we can do, and when they send you home to die, I'm telling you what, God has got hope for you. He has got a healing for you. He's got a miracle for you. I think of my pastor's wife, Dodie, who's alive today. Just sent us a book last week, sent Eva a book this week. They reprinted some sermons of Brother Osteen's, and you know, and she signed it in there, signed the front, sent it to us, and she sends us a note every month because we support Joel's ministry, you know, and sends a handwritten note every single month for years and years and years, and I have begged her not to do that. And she does it every since. She says, no, it's what I do. Handwritten. Love you, Mike and Brenda. Y'all are so precious. We love you so much. I mean, and this woman is still alive. In 1981, she was diagnosed with metastatic cancer of the liver and was given 2 weeks to live, was sent home, weighed 89 pounds, and the doctor says, there's nothing I can do. Wrote a book on, called A Lady Named Dodie. Healed of Cancer. Awesome book. She's still alive today. That was 1981. I remember that. We were at Lakewood at that time. She testified to that effect that within a year it was gone completely. Now listen, that thing didn't leave overnight. She confessed the word every day, day and night, day and night. She had a list of scriptures that she confessed over and over and over and over, and she would not let go and she would not be denied. That doctor sat down with her and Brother Osteen and said, I've done everything I can do. She's got metastatic cancer of the liver. She's not going to make it. There's nothing I can do. And Brother Osteen says, well, doctor, we believe in miracles. And the doctor said, well, you're going to need one. And Brother Osteen says, well, we're going to get one. Amen. True story. Took her home. It's in the book. You ought to get the book. I mean, it's an amazing book. I mean, she has medical records of it not even in her body anymore. It's gone. Woo! Just a miracle of God. But she fought. She fought. She just wouldn't accept it. She wouldn't receive that. That's the way we've got to get with the miracles of God. Maybe it's a family deal. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a financial deal. Maybe it's a physical deal. I don't know. Maybe it's a mental deal. But I'll tell you what, if you can find in God's Word where He makes a promise to you, you need to set your teeth and dig in. Because there's an opposition out there. There's a devil out there. But God's not holding it back. It's the devil holding it back. Okay. Man, it's good stuff. 27th verse. When she heard about Jesus. Well, that changes everything. When you hear about Jesus, it changes everything. When she heard about Jesus, she came. Boy, you need to come too. You need to step out. When you hear about Jesus, you need to step out on what you hear about Jesus. Because only then will you receive it. Are you out there? Hallelujah. Now take yes to heart. I can think of many times I prayed and didn't get anything. It's happened. I know you prayed in your life. There's no condemnation. Goodness gracious. I'm not perfect. But I know what God says. And He didn't miss it. He's not the one to blame. I'll take the blame. I'll take the hit. A lot of times I hadn't believed. A lot of times I didn't know. A lot of times I wasn't developed or whatever the case. But there's no condemnation. God loves us. He's for us. We're not hitting people over the head. Are you out there? And this is not a message for you to go blast somebody with. This is a message for you to change your life with and work on things in your life. Hallelujah. I prayed for people and they've died. But God's Word says this. So what happened there? Well, I missed it. God didn't. Are you out there? It's not the end of the world. I'm not. You know, it's not the end of the world. Well, I prayed and it didn't happen. Oh, I'm a terrible lost sin. No, you're not lost. You know what? You need to go back to the drawing board, work on it. Hallelujah. I tell you, most people that are Christians that you pray for, in fact, all people that are Christians that you pray for and die, they go to heaven. So thank God they're in heaven. But you know, I need to work on this because I want to have that flowing in me. I want to hold on to them as long as we can. I think you ought to go out in old age. You shouldn't go out in sickness and disease. We're going to die one day. I understand that. But God has promised us long life and health and healing. We got to fight. We got to fight. Marriage is worth fighting for, isn't it? I mean, I know you can get a divorce and get married again. A lot of people have. We've got people in here been divorced and remarried. There's no condemnation. I mean, but listen, let's fight. Let's fight. Let's make this count. Let's start today and say no more. That's it. I draw the line. I'm not going to suffer that loss anymore. Holding on to this woman. Are you with me? I'm holding on to this man. I'm holding on to this healing. I'm holding on to this my mind, my peace, my sanity, whatever the case may be. I'm holding on. I'm done. I'm done. I've had all. I'm like Popeye. I've had all I can stand, but I can't stand no more. Okay. Okay. Too many cartoons in my head. I got to get those out of there. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians, was none the better. Spent all that she had, was none the better, rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, here's confession. She said, if only I can touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Not maybe, I shall be made whole. Not, let's give it a shot. No, I shall be made whole. Jesus on his way with Jairus to heal his daughter. Actually, she wound up dying and he raised her from the dead. But she comes up behind him in the press. This is exactly what she did. She came behind him in the press. Well, that's fighting. That's fighting the good fight of faith. That's coming through a crowd of people in her weakened condition, pressing through the crowd, will not be denied no matter how many obstacles, no matter how long it takes, no matter who's standing in the way. I am getting to Jesus. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to pander at the pool of popularity or meander at the maze of mediocrity. I'm going to get my miracle. No matter what anybody says, no matter how much fun they make of me, I'm standing on God's Word. I'm going to get to Him. I'm going to press through. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. And I'm going to lay hold upon eternal life. She lay hold upon that garment. And has professed a good profession for many witnesses, for she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Same spirit of faith. According as it is written, she heard of Jesus. She believed. I have believed and therefore spoken. She spoke, she said. It's all there. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. She heard of Jesus. What happened? Faith came. Faith came when she heard what Jesus said. And the story goes on. It says immediately, 29th verse, the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. I love this because she didn't feel anything when she believed. She didn't feel anything when she confessed. She didn't feel anything when she pushed through that crowd. She didn't feel anything while she was fighting that fight of faith. She felt that after she did all that. Often we want the feeling first. No, you've got to have the faith first, and the feeling comes second. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power or virtue had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes or who touched me? That's fascinating. The disciples were thinking Jesus has lost it. Because they said to him, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? See, this was a different kind of touch. This was a touch of faith. all kinds of prayers go up, but boy, the prayer of faith touches God. It connects with God. It draws virtue out of God. It causes the promises to come to pass. Hebrews 4 verse 1 says, well, the second verse says, well, the first verse says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. The second verse says, for the good news of the gospel was preached to them, those that perished in the wilderness, but the word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. This woman mixed faith in with the touch. Jesus felt that touch. Woo! Amen. I'm about to preach myself happy. I don't know about y'all. He said, who touched me? And they said, well, the multitude throngs you, Lord, and you say, who touched me? Well, the woman, fearing and trembling, the Bible says, fell down before him and told him all that she had done. She told him this story. That's why it's recorded here. That's why it's in Matthew 9. That's why it's in Luke 8. That's why it's right here in Mark 5. Those disciples heard her tell that story. And they remembered it and they wrote it down, all the details, what she said and what she did, how she heard of Jesus. Had she been to those doctors? Hadn't helped them one bit. But she came to Jesus in faith, grabbed his garment, got her healing. And Jesus said, woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith has made you whole. Amen. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. You know, I think sometimes you parallel this to some degree. You could go to Jesus and go to many churches and spend all that you have and get none the better, but rather grow worse if you don't mix faith in. Are you out there? People do go to church sometimes and don't get any help at all. People go to church all their lives. And even give, maybe. But see, not being mixed with faith doesn't profit them. And they are none the better, but rather grow worse. I know people that are worse. I know people go to church. I'm thinking, what are they even going for? They need to find somewhere else to go to. Hello. I mean, some churches just make a redneck out of you. Are you out there? Make you mean. I've seen church people mean. I'm thinking, well, church is supposed to make you better, not mean. Hateful. Hateful to the whole, hate the world, hate everybody, just mean. If you don't go to their church and you're not part of their group, they just hate you, man. I mean, you are all hell-bound sinners. I've heard preachers preach that way, you know. I laugh about it, but I really heard a guy say, a preacher preached this. He got up and he said, you hate your mama, you hate your papa, you never done a good thing in your life. But God loves you, and I love you. God bless you, dirty, rotten little hearts. I mean, he said that. I was there. I thought he was preaching, you know. There wasn't a lot of love there. God loves you, and I love you. God bless you, dirty, rotten little hearts. You know, some people are just mad about preaching. You ought to preach the good news and preach it glad. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, this woman mixed faith, and it did her some good. If you mix faith in this, it'll do you some good too. Hallelujah. It'll help you. It'll bless you. In fact, that's the only way it's ever going to happen or work for you. There's nothing in here that'll ever work if you don't believe it. Bottom line. And if you don't passionately believe it. You know, you need to take that thing one at a time, just one thing at a time. Maybe a lot of things in your life you need to work on. But what's the most important thing? Center in on that thing. You know, I always say if you've got 100 wild dogs or coyotes coming at you, shoot the one on the front porch first. And after that, we'll shoot the next one. That's right. But let's hit that one that's just the most. Let's hit that one that's right on us. The one that's right on us that we can't seem to shake. Let's shake it. Let's get the word and let's shake it. Whatever that problem is, whatever that need is, whatever that desire or hope is, find it in the word. Find the promise. Mix your faith in with it. And then get serious about it. Start confessing it. Press through the crowd. And lay hold upon that promise, that garment of Jesus, and get that miracle that God promises you. It's not going to come cheap. Nothing comes cheap. Everything takes faith in the Word. It takes belief. You have to believe. You have to confess. You have to stand. It's worth standing. Some things are worth fighting for. Amen? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life, word until you are also called. And has professed or confessed a good confession before many witnesses. Hallelujah.